We are in Come Follow Me, week 36, which is 1 Corinthians chapters 14 through 16. And I want to start in chapter 16, verses 17 and 18. And it says this, "For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied." And he's talking about Fortunatus and Archelaus. It's these people, these other followers of Christ. 18, "For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them." And it was this, "They have refreshed my spirit and yours." And the question that I wrote right there is, who has refreshed your spirit? And how have you refreshed others? And I so loved that thought of just, are we entering in this journey of life with the desire to refresh others, to be instruments in God's hands, to bring them towards Christ, to shine his light so brightly that they feel his love and have a desire to not necessarily be around us, but to be around him, to look and go, what makes her happy? What makes her have peace in this world of darkness and turmoil? How have you, and I love that word, refreshed others? How have you made them feel alive and awake and want to be here? And that was just such a beautiful thought. And I loved right above it in verse 15, it says this, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. And the reason I loved that is my son once said, anything we put in front of Christ, so anything like food addictions, alcohol addictions, pornography addictions, shopping addictions, anything we put in front of him is wrong. And then he turned and he said, "Mom, you have an addiction. You're addicted to Christ. You're addicted to the scriptures, to the gospel." And I said, "Yeah, but that's a hard one to tell me I shouldn't be, that there's anything wrong with that." And I loved this. They have addicted themselves to Christ, to the ministry of the saints. They are going about refreshing people, enlivening them, helping them feel rejuvenated and awake and a desire to draw closer to Christ. And I so hope and pray that's what my ministry is. That is just beautiful. Okay, and if you go back to verse 10 and 11, it says this, "Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as do I, as also do I. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace." And what that says to me is, we are all working for the same thing. So don't be concerned, it's not me. If you get this new bishop, if you get this new elders quorum, new relief society, new visiting teachers, new teachers in Sunday school, new primary teachers, he is working the work of the Lord the same as you. And it may look a little different, but have no fear. It's for the same goal. And they are addicted to the ministry of the saints. And who has refreshed you lately? And who have you refreshed? I just love that so much. So now I want to go back and I want to start in chapter 14. And this is how one of the ways that I feel like we get addicted and refresh other people and make them alive in Christ. And I want to start in verse 3, and it says, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort." And then I want to go in 2 Nephi 32:3, and it says, "Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost, wherefore they speak the words of Christ, Wherefore I say unto you, feast on the words of Christ. For behold, the words of Christ will tell you all things you should do. And I just love that because I think if we seek to speak with the tongue of angels to edify, that is how we refresh others and lead them to Christ. And then go down to verse 12. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to edify in the church. Seek to speak the tongue of angels. And then this was my very favorite verse, 19. Yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, edify, right? Then 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Seek to refresh others. Feast on the words of Christ and pray to be his hands. What good does it do if we stand and we're lecturing or we're speaking and we seek to look like we know everything and we're so awesome? That isn't edifying anyone. That's 10,000 words that no one understands. I think about Isaiah. He wasn't seeking that, but man, I've had to pray to try and understand Isaiah's words. And occasionally five will stand out to me and I get what he says and I feel so refreshed. And I feel my testimony strengthened. And I love that it says, I had rather speak five words. And you all have had opportunities where you have stood and borne your testimony or given a talk. And you knew the words that came out of your mouth were not your own. That God used you to bear witness of some truth. And even you sat down going, holy cow, that was not me. That is how we edify, and that is incredible. 26, verse 26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm or a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done to edifying. And I just have to say, there was a time in my life where that when there was silence, it was so uncomfortable to me that I would quickly raise my hand or I'd quickly stand up to bear my testimony. I just couldn't handle silence. It took a long time for me to learn silence is the Spirit's opportunity to work on people. And I have learned now to pray and say, please bless that those who you would have share their testimony will feel prompted to share. And please bless that my heart will be open to hear the words you would have me hear. And if you want it to be me, please help me to know. And when I do not feel moved upon to speak by the Spirit, I don't speak. Because you know what? If I stand up and even say 10,000 words without the Spirit, it's no good. And I would rather have silence. And it's taken me a long time to learn that and stand up and maybe say five words. So there was one time that my son was leaving on a mission, my second son, and someone in the bishopric had called and asked if I would say the closing prayer. And man, I thought, okay, I hope I'm going to be okay. I hope that I can do this. And the whole time as I'm listening to my son and emotional, I kept praying, please give me words. Please give me the words to say, Heavenly Father. And one sentence stood out in my head. And it was, we feel it a pleasure to serve thee. We love to obey thy command. And I stood up, said that, and said amen, and sat down. And I knew that sentence said more than I could ever say. And I felt the testimony of that prayer. That is what it is to be edified. That's when the speaker and the learner are edified. And that is just beautiful. So I love this in 15 verse 8. It says, and last of all, he was seen of me. Verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles because I persecuted the church. Verse 10, I labored, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace was bestowed on me, not in vain. I labored more abundantly. And I love that. We are all sinners. And I love that humility of Paul. But what did he do? Because of the grace of God, because of this mighty change that God wrought in him, he labored more abundantly. And that is just beautiful. Let Christ's faith in us not be in vain. How humble, how beautiful that he labored. And then I love this, 18, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. We need to wake up. And verse 34 says, awake to righteousness and desire to be addicted to Christ, to refresh others, to be steadfast and immovable. And that's what it says in verse 58. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Do the small and simple things. Awake unto Christ. Be addicted to him and refresh others by being his hands. What a beautiful, beautiful grouping of scriptures this week. I hope you know the church is true. And more than that, I hope you know how much our Savior loves you.